Hello.
Hi,
Hello.
welcome to the show. How about you guys introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Felix, aka Luxen, and with me is Stefan.
Hello.
And so you guys are working on a current game that you have on one of those crowdfunding sites. Can you talk more about that right now?
Sure. So CrossCode is essentially a 2D action RPG set in the distant future, and it's wait, give me a second here.
Sure.
So it's a 2D action set in the distant future, and it's essentially about a player who has lost her memory and also can't speak, and it just happens to be stuck inside an MMO. And so you essentially are this player playing this MMO and trying to figure out what's actually going on here.
Okay. And for and I usually now what I do is I bring up the game, the main game in question up front so that listeners can maybe check out the site or something else while they're listening to the interview. So do you have a website that the listeners can check out or something they can check out right now while they're listening to the interview?
Sure. So the game is called CrossCode, and you find it on the webpage www.cross-code.com.
Okay, sounds good. And so how did you what inspired you guys to get into games?
Right.
You want to start?
I'm sorry.
You can start. You can start.
Okay. So, what inspired us? Well, so a long time ago, we actually did some game development. I started with about 16 when I was 16, and we worked with a program called RPG Maker. That's essentially a small program that allows you to create simple RPGs, top-down perspective, without any programming knowledge. And that's the community me and Stefan came from. And so we already created RPGs using that tool, essentially. And then we essentially evolved over time. We learned programming. We are both computer science students, and that's how we got into game programming. So actually creating games with a programming language and all that.
Okay, and have you guys released any other games previously? Okay.
Well, not really games, but we released several projects based on the RPG Maker. I, for instance, created a demo of the game Pfälzerbor. That's unfortunately only in German, but the demo was already like 6 hours long, so it has a lot of content, but it was never really finished, unfortunately.
Okay.
The scope was just too huge.
And so this is your first main game at this point, would you say? I mean, you've done other games like kind of as side projects and learning experiences, but this is your main, like your first main professional game.
As a hobby, we made games, basically.
Yeah.
So everything was just testing around for us, and with CrossCode we really like focused this one game, and we want to publish it and make money from it.
Yeah. What inspired you then to go from hobby to try to make something that's going to become a business or?
Well,
Well, should I, because I got to you when you
sure,
started.
whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It was basically we both were students, and at some point we both wondered what will we do with our lives, and we wanted to make games, but we didn't wanted to make games other people had control over. We wanted to make our own games.
Okay.
So one day I approached Felix and said, "Hey, you have this cool idea. Why don't we make a team and make a game together and make a company and make money from with it? If we can pull
Yeah.
it off."
Yeah, the idea was also that we already did a lot of game development in our free time, but it's actually pretty hard for us to finish anything by just working part-time on it, and that's why we actually tried to go and to try try to do it full-time. And yeah, that's a basic idea.
And how long ago did you then start developing this current game?
How long we worked on that? I
Felix?
think it's over 3 years already.
Yeah.
So I started experimenting around the beginning of 2011.
Okay.
End of 2011, so that's over 3 years already. We published the first demo in 2012, and now it took us another 2 years to actually create this proper demo we have right now.
And what Where did you publish the demo?
Yeah, we just think it's because we come from the RPG Maker area and this is just a community where it was common to just publish demos all the time. And that's probably, we just thought that way. But I think demo is actually a big advantage because we can actually show that the whole concept is working.
Yeah.
People can already test the game and give us feedback early on without us producing the whole content. And I think especially for an RPG, that's a good idea because an RPG always has a lot of content and you first want to check if the basic gameplay and the idea is actually working.
Okay. And so you published it then in the RPG Maker forums then?
Not only. I mean, CrossCode was published on several pages. I mean, we created our own blog. We are present in all kind of social networks. We also, of course, also published it in the RPG Maker forum. You should know CrossCode is not based on the RPG Maker anymore. It's actually an HTML5 game. So
Because it's an MMO. That's why I was like...
To be clear about it. It's not an MMO. It's just an RPG that has an MMO as a story. It's kind of like .hack for PlayStation or kind of like Sword Art Online and these kind of animes.
Okay.
So that's the idea here. So the MMO is essentially a scenario.
Okay, gotcha. And so when you published it out, the demo, what was the feedback?
It was overwhelmingly positive. Like, we didn't expect that it was so positive. We got a lot of feedback, like bugs, small things, like there is a collision bug and the game does soft lock in this spot. But still, people said it was a good game, it was a good concept, it was a good idea, please continue with this. And we didn't expect this because it's the internet, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has a different opinion and that's what we expected. We didn't know that people would like our game so much. So that was kind of the feedback, very positive.
Of course, yeah, mostly. I mean, there are some people who don't like the idea that we have a very, we have some tutorial, which is pretty long. Essentially, the whole story part at the beginning is a tutorial, but we try to make it interactive, so player actually not just reading all the time, but actually doing the stuff. But still, some people don't like the idea that everything is explained very clearly. And of course, so there are always people who criticize things, but it's impossible to create a game that everybody likes anyway.
Yeah. And so since you got that positive feedback, what were you thinking at that point in terms of what the next steps were going to be? Because you said you released it in 2012, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, when we released in 2012, we already got the feedback that basic idea seems to work very well. So the next step was just to this of course was very motivating, but at this point we didn't feel we were ready to do the whole project full time yet.
Sure.
Because we wanted to do a crowdfunding. For a crowdfunding, the game needs to really be convincing.
Okay.
That's why we took us another 2 years working part time to extend the engine, create more content to actually have a game that looks like an RPG.
Okay. Because around 2012 I noticed that there were more of these Kickstarter campaigns getting funded. And so I wasn't sure if you were considering doing like Kickstarter or something else like that. And I'm not even sure if they allowed people in Europe to do Kickstarters.
The problem was that we were simply not ready because living in Germany comes with a lot of problems from making company from that standpoint.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so we weren't even ready. We had no idea how to even make a company. And it took the 2 years we worked on the game to polish it. We also tried to get better in knowing what a company does and where everything needs to be, talk to lawyers, talk to advisors and everything. So we know what we are doing and felt ready for like this big step, making a company and trying to spend your life making games, Billy.
Yeah. Well, during this time, though, since you were getting that initial exposure and positive feedback, how did you keep the audience and fuel? Did you try to build a community over these 2 years?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Felix. Just community. I love community.
Yeah.
We started with our blog.
Okay.
This was basically the first step. We had At the beginning, we had an update every week.
Okay.
And then twice, then twice in a month.
Okay.
And now we're back to once in a week. And with this, we kind of were able to build a little fan base that people started to follow. And we started creating a Twitter account, Facebook, all the social stuff.
Yeah.
To help us reach people and show them the tech demo. We also were kind enough that Google featured our game on their Google Experiments site, which is actually just for small experiments, but for some reason we were featured there and got a lot of exposure through that. And yeah, well, it's really just viral marketing, maybe.
Okay.
People talk about it and somehow they knew about our game.
So all these kind of snowballing effect of this exposure and development, I mean, what inspired you? What was there any kind of motivation to try to get the game out or even do kind of a rolling update so that you could get the business and the financial part of the business flowing right soon after you released that demo in 2012? Because I mean, 2 years is a very long time for the game space, it seems.
We were lucky enough that we were still students.
Okay.
So we could basically we didn't work full time on the game.
Yeah.
But as a student, you kind of have a little bit more time, or you can manage your time better, I would say. So we could work on the game, and we didn't want the 2012 demo, the tech demo, to be... Actually, we didn't want too much exposure because we felt there is more. We can do more. Yeah. We can do better. And when we released the actual demo, this was the point where we wanted to start, like, showing it off and showing it around, contacting press and everything. So yeah, it's simply that we didn't felt ready.
Yeah, and I think that is a challenge because, you know, I've thought about this too. It's like if you don't have a compelling game, you miss your, you know, one shot where people will consider you. But at the same time, by getting that feedback and getting yourself out there, you kind of open yourself up to other opportunities that you wouldn't have seen. And so what do you feel is the best strategy here? Because, you know, it seems like, you know, look at Minecraft, right? If Notch would have waited until Minecraft was considered perfect, I'm not sure it would have been as famous, because a lot of it was just the community feedback and just responding to the community, showing updates continuously.
What I always hear about that. So sorry to interrupt you.
But, yeah, go ahead.
I always hear that when you do big AAA game development, the usual approach is to just keep everything hidden and then just come out big with a big surprise, everything polished already. But the indie way is usually that you start small, you open up early, you start development block, you talk with other people about your project, and you share your progress, and that's actually what builds a community, and that's how you get known in the indie development area, I think.
And I think this is a subtle thing that I was just thinking about recently. I think the reason why people don't want to do that is, you know, maybe because of fear, you know, if it doesn't work or, you know, you'll get criticism because it doesn't look perfect. But, you know, you think about these really big indie hits, some of them are because of these social, you know, the social exposure. Now, I mean, the thing
and,
is, though,
luck.
Yeah, luck. But they also bring something unique and different to this, to everyone, right? Like, I mean, Infiniminer was before Minecraft, but the guy stopped development of it, right? So there was Minecraft. He was constantly updating it, right? And I can even think about, I think what I've seen is, you know, if games are an entertainment, just like entertainment medium, just like movies, then, or even like TV shows, you think about what's happening with this like YouTube culture where literally it's not about making necessarily 30-minute clips like it was in the TV days, and the, you know, like if TV is like the analogy of TV to AAA, it's about these 2-minute, 3-minute clips every week, to get subscribers, to give people some entertainment. And I think that the games, what I've seen now, I mean, it's probably obvious now, but just something that I realize is that that's what you're doing. You're entertainment. You're providing the same entertainment as TV, except instead of maybe not TV, but like these YouTube channels, like you know, these comedian channels or whatever else. Except instead of just talking about common everyday life or whatever, what's happening to you, you're talking about your game. And because games are the central part of media culture now, people want to listen. So I mean, because I'm just surprised that you took 2 years to really perfect it. And I'm just wondering because you've heard of both development styles, the AAA style versus the indie, you know, this kind of grassroots indie style. What do you prefer and what do you think is good?
I like the open first, actually, pretty good. I mean, that's what we did. We had our blog and people could see our updates. So I like that because as a developer, I actually like talking about what I developed.
Yeah.
And I like to show it to people. And
it gives you more energy, right?
That's right. As a developer, you are happy because people think what you just did is cool. And you think, like, awesome, now I want to do more.
Yeah, and you have to... Because part of it is just staying motivated, right?
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And so, but I'm just contrasting this with what you said, which is mainly that in 2012, like you were doing updates every week, but then you slowed it down to every 2 weeks, right? Okay. And so what inspired that instead of trying to figure out how to do updates every couple of days or every day?
Well, it was mostly that because we didn't make fast enough progress to actually have enough content for every week.
You know, that's...
So that was why we decided to do it every 2 weeks. So I have to admit, we probably could have been more active in interacting with the fan base. For instance, one of the things we probably did way too late is create a proper forum.
Yeah.
We could have done that earlier, but we just did it after we released our demo. And the forum is working great. There are actually a lot of people there and we discussed them. Game content, they're doing speed runs and stuff like this. So that's actually a very nice interaction with the community, and it's something which is probably a bit too late.
Which, you know, you bring up a really good point though, which is that if developers are going to go this indie promotional route, which is like, you know, being open in live development, maybe Notch was just doing it so fast, but you have to really keep the process, the progress going, and you have to figure out how to like make it amazing almost every day. And you're right. I mean, there's like development challenges that can get in the way of that. There are all these things that can get in the way. And the question is how can you actually keep the community engaged, even though sometimes development is slow? Sometimes you can be super fast, at least for me, sometimes you can be super fast with development and sometimes it gets slow. And, you know, you're trying to gain some momentum again. And so what was that something you guys considered in terms of even if you could only... the development was slower, maybe you could have done other things that would have kept people engaged at least on a weekly or every few days.
I think one of the things you can do to engage people more is actually ask them about game content. Like what we did once was we asked the community a question about what color certain effects should have, because we as a team couldn't decide. We had like actually a big discussion about that, and we just asked the people, and that was actually one of the posts we got a lot of comments.
Yeah.
So, and then people actually feel involved in the whole game creation process, which is even better. And you don't necessarily need to make a lot of progress to ask these kind of questions. So that's something you can do if you don't have enough don't have enough progress. Just think how you can involve the people.
Yeah. See, I think that's a great idea, and that's something that the listeners can even borrow from, even if they're doing development and development slows down. The pace slows down a little bit, you know, which can happen if you're doing it over several years or whatever. You've got these questions, you've got these contests, you've got these other things that can help the community co-create with you. Because I feel that's the unique entertainment, regardless of the game itself. That's part of the unique entertainment you're providing to the community. At least at this point, it's still somewhat novel. That because a lot of people want to develop games. Like you think about a lot of young kids. They want to develop games, right? And the fact that you're allowing them to—well, not even kids. I know in your case it may not be kids, but like older people, right? They still have that dream. They just have a lot of obligations, you're allowing them to co-create in some small and interesting way. Maybe you're fueling the fire of exposure and fun and entertainment.
Actually, someone said that on our Twitch stream. he said that we actually inspire people to do indie development, which was kind of surprising and humbling to us because we didn't know that was happening.
I think that's definitely the case because they can see now that it isn't some grand. Because think about it, just like you said, the AAA titles, they're behind this closed door, and then suddenly magic comes out, and it's the most polished, amazing thing, right? And and indies are showing and offering the fact that wait a second, it's actually incremental, right? You can make a good game by just starting with something basic and just improving it a little at a time. And in that case, it just makes it more feasible. It makes it so that people believe that they can do it themselves. So I think that's definitely something, I guess, that you underscored, which I think would be useful to other developers listening about how they can market and promote their games. I think the other thing is that you had the willingness to put yourself out there, right? Like you said you were a little concerned. Yeah.
Sure, well, that's something you actually learned in the RPG Maker community because that it was always like people started creating games and posting them actually pretty early. There was a tendency that people put stuff in the forum which was really, really just a few days old. Yeah. And then people over time got annoyed and then the whole level of criticism just was increasing over time in this community, which was complicated for newcomers. But at least you always learned that it's important to show your progress. So that's something you actually learned in these communities.
Now,
go ahead.
We also, I've just remembered, we also did these technical posts where we actually really showed how we implemented stuff.
Okay.
We didn't just ask people, we also tried to at least provide a little bit insight next to just images of a new feature. We actually showed how do we actually implement this feature because we use such a new technology for games.
Yeah.
In that sense that we try to make a full feature game with web technologies.
So your initial release, the demo, was done in RPG Maker, if I'm understanding correctly.
Nope. Actually, a very, very first prototype of the game was created in the RPG Maker, but this one was never really published. But this game actually started in 2011. It was all HTML5 already.
Oh, it was. Okay, wow. And what were your thoughts of RPG Maker versus HTML5 in terms of development? Do you feel that that's why it took so long to get the demo out, or?
Well, most definitely. What we did is actually we took Impact.js, which is an engine in HTML5, but it's only optimized for 2D jump runs, and we extended this engine a lot. So we actually rewrote most of the content and added a lot of features. And so what we did is not just create a game, we actually created an engine. And I think that's probably a major reason why it took us so long to actually get all this together.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that? Because I think that takes so much time and did you consider so what inspired you to do HTML5 over say using some of these other engines that were out at the time, whether it's Unity or Corona or some of these other game maker things?
Well, for me it was actually I just wanted to do game development in HTML5. That was for me to start actually.
Okay.
In 2011 I did some internship and I actually developed some HTML5 game for some company, and I realized that the technology is actually it's ready for games. It's still early, but it's ready. And I already was a fan of the language and web technology in general before that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to create a game in HTML5. It was already decided for me when I started the whole project. And I just got into it so much, and then I started developing this engine. I mean, I wouldn't really recommend for anybody creating an engine. It's a lot of work.
Fun. Yeah.
But for me, it was also kind of fun. It's actually something I like to do because I have this programming background. I did a lot of low-level programming stuff at university.
Yeah.
So this kind of thing's actually fun for me, doing all these complicated stuff like writing a physics engine, optimized rendering, all that kind of stuff. So it's also part of the fun for me to create an engine. And that's actually why I think that's one of the major reasons why we could actually finish this thing more or less with an engine.
Okay. But how do you go ahead.
I just want to say, for me it was just Felix who just showed me how awesome web technologies are. And at some point, I was so convinced that I fell in love with them too. And
well, you can, in general, you can actually say that some things which are really great about web technologies are, well, they're no, well, it's pretty cheap to start working with it. I mean, Impact is just $100. Yeah. That's actually pretty cheap of an engine. And just the whole development environment is very convenient. If you have a Chrome browser, you have like a very nice debugger.
Yeah.
And working with JavaScript is actually pretty fast. You don't have any compilation, essentially no compilation. And so it's just very convenient to work with it, in my opinion.
Okay. And were you thinking about... I mean, were there any specific platforms you wanted to target? Were you thinking about mobile at that time, or were you thinking about just the web, or were you thinking about downloadable?
At the very beginning, I was thinking about having mobile support.
Yeah.
But then I dropped this idea after some time because the whole game mechanisms didn't work too well with having a touch display. So okay. I just gave up that idea, and now we're actually focusing on the PC version and maybe some console ports.
Okay. And the PC version, though, can you use the HTML code? I mean, is there anything that allows you to do that, or did you have to rewrite that then?
No, we can actually completely use the same code base.
Gotcha.
That's the cool thing about the technology.
Okay.
We don't do anything special. We just have a kind of wrapper around the game.
Okay.
Like a mini browser. Exactly. And that's what you start when you start it on Windows.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's called Node WebKit for those who are interested.
Oh, what's it called again?
Node WebKit.
Okay. And so what about this? Would you develop an engine again as you pursue more games? What are your thoughts about doing the actual game versus the engine? Because I feel like you said, doing an engine takes a long time. Now, there's some benefits to it. You can make custom engines that give you a unique game perspective or you know, gameplay. But where's the balance, in your opinion, between making progress on the game versus doing the engine and the technical architecture and stuff like that?
Well, at the beginning, you usually spend most of the time at the engine. That's what always happens because you have to get all the base done. And after time, that's actually the challenge, to actually move from engine development to actual game development. And you have to see if that's actually interesting for you. But since we both come from the RPG Maker area, and at the beginning, we mostly were just doing content because the RPG Maker is a ready-made engine, for the most part, at least. And so we already did that, and we know that we can handle doing content as well. I mean, I know a lot of people who probably just want to create engines, but I think actually we have some kind of balance in that sense. But, well, we first have to prove it properly, so because we are at the point where we have finished most part of the engine.
Okay.
And now it's actually the point where we really have to push the content and create the actual game. And during the last half year, I think we actually already did a lot of progress in that direction.
And how was it working together while you're doing this? Did it help? Did you run into any issues when you were first starting out? What were some of the lessons learned? And did you find it as beneficial as you thought it would be working with someone else?
Well, it'd be actually not just two people. We're actually about 10 people working on this project.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's it's actually, I think it's very valuable to work with other people. So, I mean, if you want to grow, it's essential that you work with others. I mean, you can stay small, isn't it? That's also an option. But to me, we needed some people to do the music, and just helping people, helping with the graphics is always a good thing.
Also, because of you can make a small game, like a platformer, you can probably do in a smaller team. But we are doing something that we actually shouldn't do, which is doing an RPG as our first project. And that's pretty large. Like, you have so much to do. You have menu, you have gameplay, you have puzzles, and everything needs to come in place. And for just two people, that might be a bit too much. So we expanded a bit. And friends help us, or freelancers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always, especially at the beginning, it's a bit complicated because you have to learn how to communicate the ideas and how to how to be precise about describing what exactly you want and all of this. But that's actually something you learn over time pretty quickly, and it also helps you in general for the future. If you learn how to work with others, it's actually something very valuable, in my opinion, to have a skill to just have, to just be able to work with others and communicate ideas.
Okay. And I guess what were other surprises that you ran into while you were developing these past few years?
Surprises, let me think.
Something that surprised us along the way is definitely Node WebKit as an option for the desktop, because at the beginning we always just fantasized about maybe someone does something like that in the future. And one day Felix just found Node WebKit and it worked instantly, and we were so happy. And it came to a big surprise, that, at least to me. I don't know, Felix, how about you?
I expect this to happen, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was so happy that day, and I didn't expect to be able to develop a desktop version so soon, or to be able to port it to desktop.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a surprise for me.
And so what? You know, while you're developing this, some of these like new emerging platforms and you know, popularities come out. Did that change your direction of development? I'm talking about mobile platforms, you know, Steam, Unity, all these things. Like, you know, there's just changes. I mean, they may have been there at the beginning of when you started developing, but some of them became more popular. Their business models changed. You know, it became cheaper to do development with them. Did that influence you in any way?
I mean, for us at least, the choice of engine was pretty much fixed for the most time. We developed our engine and it was working well. There was actually no point where I thought, well, the whole engine thing is not working out well. We managed to do a good job in developing the engine. So it's working really decently. And there's an advantage of having it, because if you have your own engine, it's working. You don't need any support. If you do Unity and or any engine, I mean, there's probably no engine out there which is perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he's gone.
Okay. You know what we'll do is, this is a great stopping point for the first part of the interview. And when we come back, we'll just finish up the second part, where we will discuss some more items. We'll discuss what's happening now, how you're marketing it, and, you know, the Steam. I know you're on Steam and these other things. So we'll discuss that and your current campaign. And that'll be the second part of the interview. So once again, thanks again to the audience for listening, and join us next time. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.